it's hard living with a 72-year-old woman as young as I am, but I'm so thankful for my sweetheart. I do have a booger encyclopedia. I didn't bring it with me today, but just so I would have you all raise your hand, but I don't do that. Well, oftentimes I'll ask young people, I'll say, how many of you have ever picked your nose one time in your life, just one time? I said, how does it feel to be in a room full of booger pickers? And the kids, but people will say, why do you enjoy telling booger jokes? And I always say, because kids eat them up. Yeah, there you go. And so anyhow, it's great to be here. I love your preacher. I really do. I thank the Lord for him and his wife and their children. Mrs. Smith and I have turned quite a page of life. And we are traveling full time now. And we're doing great. About 3 years ago, back in probably, the year 2000, the children were starting to worry. Say, Dad, you know, something's going on here. Maybe it was a little bit older than that. They said, Dad, we're worried that we're going to find you dead someplace. And I thought, bless your heart. I'm not even thinking about it. I'm just keep going on. And so we began to pray, and the Lord closed some doors, opened some doors, directed us to different things. And we are very excited what we're doing. We're actually 5 minutes away from Shauna's mom. Her mom will be 93 this February 3rd. We're 10 minutes away from our son there in Iowa. Both of us graduated from Iowa high schools. Both of us met each other at Iowa College, where we were in Bible college there. And we really prayed what God would have us to do. Pastor Fugit wanted me to stay and just cut back a few of my responsibilities, but I didn't want to be around things I used to do and hear somebody say, well, that's not the way Brother Dave would have done it. I didn't want to hear that. Or I didn't want anybody to feel like I was looking over their shoulder. And the bullheadedness that I know I have, I would probably do things that I wouldn't. Then I didn't want to arrive at that point where I was mean all the time. So it's hard me living with somebody as mean as my wife is, and then me being as gentle and loving and compassionate as I am. Amen. Yeah, it's good to see you laugh. I'm trying to figure out who belongs to who around here. All I know is that everybody's taller than I am that I've met so far today. But that's okay. It's great to be at the First Baptist Church in Amboy, Illinois. And I seriously mean it. I love your preacher very dearly. I love you. You've made us feel like it's coming home. And I appreciate that. Thank you for the room. Thank you for the things that I ate in the room. I don't know if I was supposed to or not, but I ate some things in the room. They were there. They were there. And there was only mold on a cup. No, there wasn't mold on anything. But we are traveling full time. Please get one of our prayer cards. It's called Saddle Up Ministries. Our burden is to be able to go to churches of all sizes, saddle up with the pastor, saddle up with his wife. The loneliest person in every church is a pastor's wife. And it's been exciting to watch Shauna and some preachers' wives that are saying, you know, it's her first church. They're going through this trial. They thought everybody would love them in their church, and they do to their face. No, I just didn't say that. But anyhow, it's exciting to see what God's doing, and we're writing a little bit. I shared during Sunday school that some of the things that I wrote were over there. And not that I have. Matter of fact, I actually failed ninth grade English. I was supposed to give an oral report. And I had an English teacher, Mrs. Gearhart. She came over with Noah on the ark. Did any of you ever have any teachers like that? I mean, she made a pencil look fat. She really did. But she was meaner than a junkyard dog. And I turned in my oral report, and all the students had to get up in front. And I'm actually an introvert. I really, really am. I know that seems hard for you to believe, but you can ask more. If you looked at my hands, they're sweating right now. And most of the reason I tell jokes is that relaxes me when I see you smile with both of your teeth. And that goes ahead. And I'm just seeing if you're listening, just checking out, you know. My mind is still working. I have complete recall. It's just 3 days later when I need it. And how many of you ever had that, you know? I looked at Preacher, and I wanted to picture him. Post. I don't like social media, but I use it. It seems like that's where people are following us and finding out when I'm in jail or when I'm getting Shauna out of jail or whatever it is. And I didn't have a picture of your preacher, and we have literally over 30 boxes of books for 40 years of camping. One of our goals is to take those 40 years to put them in the book. And we've got stories that we're starting to tell, and some stories no one will know except Jesus. And because I'd probably go to jail. But anyhow, I am just excited to get started on that and being able to write these books in this 40 years. But as I look at you today, I beg of you, please, take one of our prayer cards and pray for us. That's the greatest need we have. We take no medications. The Lord has given us good health. Shauna's had both knees replaced and one hip. I call her the titanium woman. We don't fly very often, but when we've had to go through those checkpoints, you know, at the airport, I step back and say, Lord, let it go off now. I want to see what happens. And it hasn't gone off yet. You say, that's terrible to do that to your wife. You don't live with her, I do. And so, anyhow, I love being my sweetheart. I love it. I love traveling. I do. I love her saying to me, honey, that's not an outside word. You can't stop there. And we were coming in town yesterday. I want to thank you for giving us. We literally had the fire department following us in town with the sirens going off. We've never been greeted like that before in our life. I understood it was a football championship, but forget that. It was Dave and Shauna were coming to town. Amen. That's what it was all about. So several of you have never heard me before. You've never met me before. I do have a mother-in-law. I do not believe in purgatory, but I do believe there's a possibility of it. And no, I'm just teasing. I'm joking. I love her dearly, like my own mom. She's very precious to me. I'm going through that time of life right now that she's forgetting, saying some things. And she has won 3 souls to Christ in the place that she lives. And I think to myself, and it burdens my heart, it breaks my heart. Sean and I try to win everybody to Christ we can. We have hundreds and thousands of gospel tracts. But my mother-in-law came in to see her and she said, "Hey, see that nurse over there? You need to get her into church." And that she had that nurse come over and she said, "Tell him, my son-in-law is a preacher. Tell him what you did." Well, I asked Jesus Christ to forgive me my sins. I'm thinking, the lady that can't even remember a statement that I said to her, now she still has a burden. I want my life to end that way. And she gave me a poem years ago. She says, "Dave, when you go to a church for the first time," and I realize this is not the first time, but many of you, it's the first time you hear me. She says, "You read that and then they will understand why you are the way you are." Now, if you've been around me very long, the verse that is not a verse I sign a Bible with, but it's a verse I use quite often, is Psalm 119, verse 165. "Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them." That means if you get upset in the next few moments, we don't have to worry about who's not right with God. He told us. And so, isn't that a good verse? It's okay to smile. It really is. Show both of those teeth. So here's the title of the poem. Now, I'm Missouri farm boy, a little small town in Missouri, and the poem is entitled "Three Rooms and a Path." In Nashville, every family boasts of 5 rooms and a bath, but in my youth, I never had but 3 rooms and a bath. They built the outhouse on the bank of Tumbling Creek, and one day I passed, I had an urge to push the outhouse in. For weeks, I fought this powerful urge, and one day I was weak. I slipped out to the outhouse, and I pushed it in the creek. That night, my dad called me aside, and all he had to say was, "Do you know who pushed the house into the creek today?" I told my dad that it was I. He didn't even chide, but then and there, with leather belt, prepared to tan my hide. But Daddy, when George Washington cut down the cherry tree, he told the truth, and so his pa let little George go free. "Let me ask you something, son," my dad said with a frown. "Was his pa in that cherry tree when George cut it down?" So the question is, Brother Dave, have you ever pushed over an outhouse? Yes, but you always push them over with the door down. That's safety right there. Take your Bible and turn to John chapter number 4, please. John chapter number 4. It's great to be with you today. And I've said it before, but I want to say it again. I love your preacher very dearly. Pastor, I want to publicly tell you, our church in Iowa does not take up the offering either. Pastor Whiting, for years and years and years, has used the box, I think immediately the picture of Jesus standing and watching, directing everything to what the widow put in the box. And he said, "She's done more than all of you together." Bless my heart. John chapter 4, will you stand together with me? John chapter 4. I'm going to read just one verse, or 2 verses, and we're going to back up. I love it when Jesus stops and he's going to do some teaching. Our theme this day is Giving Thanks Sunday. I want to preach to you a message entitled this morning, just for this day, to know thankfulness, to understand thankfulness, to figure out what thankfulness is. The Bible says in John chapter 4, verse number 6, "Now Jacob's well was there, Jesus therefore being wearied with his journey." I want you to understand that that is the Son of God. But that is verses like this shows us the humanity of Jesus Christ. He was weary. He stopped. If I could just stop in the message right there, you and I don't enjoy what oftentimes God wants to teach us because we don't stop. Now, I believe in going. I believe in having a schedule. I believe in having daily goals to accomplish, long-term goals, short-term goals, daily goals. But I know in our Christian life, especially in this world that we live in, everything's moving so fast. As I was preparing, I stopped and I thought, being here. Has there never been a greater time in this world that we live now? That we're just flat, weary, we're worn out, we're tired. He sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. There cometh a woman. I want you to look at me for this. There's no identification. There's no name. No first. No last. No history. Other than what the Bible says of Samaria, draw water. So the message today is not pointed directly at anybody, but it's pointed to everyone. Giving thanks Sunday. To know, understand, and to live. We're going to look at this lady's life. We're going to look at some things that she uttered and that Jesus pointed out. I'm going to say this to you right now. I'm the only thing that's standing between you and nourishment. But I'm going to give you the last words that Elizabeth Taylor gave her last husband. Don't worry. I'm going to keep you there. Now, those of you that are laughing, just show this how sinful you are because you know this statement. And I'm just looking around seeing who's laughing right now. We have a negative section over here called the hips, and it's very negative down here. We're both chuckling now, so they have come. I love preaching the Word of God. I love you. Let's pray to be with this Father. Father in heaven, I thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ, and that's what it's all about. I thank you, Father, for the gift of salvation to all mankind. I thank you for the precious, perfect blood that was shed that all may come to know you. Father, I bow before you and ask you in Jesus' name to fill me, to anoint me, to strengthen me. I ask you to take my mind, my speech, my human actions. May they glorify you. I pray in these few moments that we'll be together, Father, you will speak to hearts. You will save lost souls. And you will strengthen those that have come that know you as their Savior. I yield myself to you. I beg of you in Jesus' name for your power, your anointing, and a fresh filling. Please speak to all of us, Father. I yield myself to you again right now. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Look at me again in verse number 4, if you would, or verse number 6, in chapter number 4, please. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, give me to drink. For his disciples were gone away into the city to buy meat. So we see this woman that is from Samaria. That being from Samaria identifies her probably in her dress, her actions. We see Jesus sitting on the edge of the well. We see the identification that they're alone because it says that his disciples have gone to town. That is what Jesus hungers with each one of us. Yes, we're in a group, and yes, we're in a crowd today, and yes, we live in a society of billions of people, but Jesus is interested in you, and I ought to stop right at that point and give thanks that He didn't save us as a group, He saved us as an individual. That day that I realized, according to the Bible, that I was a sinner. That day that I went to that revival meeting with my granny and granddad, and the preacher began to preach and say, are you 100% sure if you died today, you'd go to heaven? That day I realized that if I was to die at that moment, at that hour, at that place, I would not go to heaven because I'd never verbally asked Jesus Christ to come into my heart. That day I walked an aisle down in that old-fashioned Baptist church, but nobody came to talk to me. Nobody came to open the Bible. Nobody came to share with me. Brother Dave, why are you giving your testimony this? Because Jesus took the time with that woman, and Jesus wants to take the time with every individual person. I love it when an opportunity comes my way to be able to win somebody to Christ. My wife and I have traveled in these travels across Interstate 80 several different times. We stopped to use the facilities there one day. We were traveling from the state of Maryland all the way back to the state of Iowa to our home. And my wife said, honey, look at that man over there. I stopped, and when I got into the truck, I pulled the truck over by this elderly man that was pushing an old garbage cart full of the bags as he was going from trash can to trash can to get the garbage out to empty it. I got out, and my wife, months back, actually years back, began to carry a tract with us that says nothing more on it than thank you. It dawned on me as I was preaching a missions conference in the state of Michigan, and after the service, I just wanted to get something very light, and I went by the McDonald's, and it said, when all the help show up, we'll open the doors. We went on down the little road in that town a little bit farther, and the Wendy's had the exact same sign. And God spoke to my wife and I and said, do you ever think about all the people that you come across that you'd like to start a conversation about, tell them about Christ? And why don't you just thank them for working? So we carry a little gospel tract that says nothing more than thank you. You open it up. I got out of the truck and I said to that man, I said, sir, my name is Dave Smith. This is my wife, Shauna. I said, I'm a traveling preacher. And I said, my wife pointed out the attention to you. I said, sir, I can't thank you. I have no idea how old you are. The man said to me, he says, I'm 86 years of age. Then he began to talk. He said, I had a farm. It was three generations. My wife and I were hoping to retire, and we gave our farm to us. Our son had been married for over 30 years. Him and his wife are getting a divorce. And my son was losing that farm. His wife is slain. He began to cry. And I said, sir, can I tell you about a story that I hope will bring joy, peace, gladness? We won't replace the farm, but it will give you something that I believe will give you peace. When I got back in the truck that day, that man track that I'd opened up and I was showing him how to stay. And that man looked at me and said, this is a good mistake. My wife and I were eating at God's restaurant. God's restaurant. It used to be like that. It's not that much more there now because they started to serve liquor there. But if we know that we're going to buy a cracker, we won't eat all the food one meal of the cracker. Oh, we stopped by and had a delicious meal and was fine. I mean, he just was sharp. He was detailed. He was pleasant. Everything. Just looked sharp in all his mannerisms. And I began to talk to him. I said, I'm going to leave the track or a tip up at the counter. I'm going to do something with the table. And I just left that because he was rushing around meeting all the other tables and everything. The first order of waiters and waitresses. And I left that on me. My wife and I went out of the truck. And the first time in my life, a man went over there and cracked the door. I said, sir. We're all on our way to head down south, and I was stuck fueling the truck. And I was by myself, so I was getting everything ready, and I was going to hook onto our travel trailer. And a man was sitting at the pump in the concrete area, just where the pumps are, so nobody will run into the gas pump. And I was fueling the truck, and I walked up, and I said, sir, how you doing today? He said, I saw two angels, and that's why I'm alive. He saw two angels, and I hope I'm not one of them. He began to tell me a story about him being in Canada fishing. Out in the middle of the lake. He said, I had the awfulest pain in my stomach. And then I belched and I had blood that was coming all over the inside of the lake. What he talked about, he passed out from that two of the largest veins on the inside of the stomach line burst. And the two angels he's talking about, his postcard came to Canada, picked him up out of that boat and went to the hospital. Two of his grandsons were coming up from the States and met him. And they were sitting, getting something at the gas station where we were at. And I began to talk to him. He began to trust Christ as a Savior when his grandsons walked out of the gas station. He said, I saw two angels in Canada, but the day I went, my days were better. Oh, to be thankful for the salvation that you have. Oh, to be thankful that that day that somebody told you God loves you. Oh, to be thankful for that day that you realized, according to the Bible, it didn't matter the color of your hair or the amount of hair. It didn't matter the size of your body or the lack of the size of your body. It didn't matter the education that you have or the education you don't have. What matters is you realize God loves you. And He sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to die for you. And here's this Samaritan woman that's sitting at the well that Jesus took time and He just makes one statement. And I want you to follow along in that statement. He says this, give me to drink. Now watch her response. For His disciples were gone away into the city to buy meat. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto Him, how is it that thou, being a Jew, ask drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Isn't that just like somebody that's lost? Isn't that just like some of us today? Why would you want to do that to me? Why would you want to give that to me? Why would you want to talk to me? I was raised with the gift of gab. To stand in front of people is hard for me. When I was a little boy, they called me Gabby. If I ever get you one-on-one, we're going to have a conversation. My wife said to me, she said, do you know those people? Because when I drive my truck, I'm waving. This is when we first married. And I said, no, I don't know them. We'd see somebody else, I'd wave at them. She said, do you know them? I said, no. She said, why do you wave? I said, you know, and I've taken this Iowa girl from Missouri and I taught her how to be free. Did you ever think about what just this small, what a Howard Beam today will do? What a just stopping. That's what Jesus did. He just stopped. He sat. He took time. Today He's taking time with you also. Today He's setting and waiting for you. Today He's asking you to listen. Today He's asking you to consider. He's asking you, could you just give me a little bit of time? That woman said, why in the world do you want to talk to me? I'm a woman from Samaria. You're a Jew. You wouldn't want to talk to me. Just like that man at that time. He didn't ask just like that man pushing those garbage cans. Just like that man at that restaurant table. Just like those people that's behind there when my wife and I will get a cup of coffee and I'll just simply say, thank you for taking time and working today. If I can be able to have a cup of coffee. Oh, my friend, that you and I, the old Christ is our Savior, would stop and take time because the day of Jesus returns. The day of Jesus coming back is soon. The day of this world turning a page like it's never turned before, when all of a sudden there will be a void, all of a sudden there will be a vacancy, all of a sudden there will be the graves opened up. My friend, is that woman? She says, why do you want to talk to me? Let's follow the woman. In verse number 10, and Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. The woman saith unto him, sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep from whence thou hast thou that living water. Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us this well, us the well, and drank thereof himself, and his children and his cattle? Jesus answered and said unto whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. Look at verse 14. But whosoever it is, it doesn't matter who you are, it doesn't matter where you're from. Doesn't matter your color. Doesn't matter anything about you. Whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. We have turned into a society that is demanding. We demand service. We demand to be first. We demand our rights. We demand. The word thankful means a consciousness of the benefit. A consciousness of a benefit received. The word thankful also means an expressiveness of thanks. A feeling or expressing an attitude of gratitude and gratefulness. Today is giving thanks to you. We need to stop. We need to give thanks. And the list goes on and goes on. But when thankfulness is missing, we've missed one of the greatest principles of life. The Samaritan woman teaches us a wonderful lesson about thankfulness. I'm going to give you these four small points. Number one, look with me again in verse number 9. In verse number 9, the Bible says, in verse number 9, then saith the woman, the Samaritan, how is it that thou being a Jew askest drink of me? Those words of me. Number one, be thankful Jesus takes you however you are. Be thankful Jesus takes you however you are. In Matthew chapter 11, we read in verses 28 through 30, come unto me all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Those words that she said, which am a woman of Samaria. How is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink? Number one, you and I ought to be thankful that Jesus loves whoever we are. Jesus reaches out and He says, come unto me all ye that labor and are heavy laden. As that man that sat at that gas station, as that man that waited at that table, as that man that pushed those garbage tracks, my friend, it doesn't matter who you are, where you're from. Jesus says, come unto me all ye that labor and are heavy laden. We want to fix it. We want to take care of it. But this woman of Samaria was so overwhelmed that he, a Jew, would take time for her. You see, we give excuse after excuse after excuse. My wife and I were in the state of Connecticut, and I was preaching a revival in the and Lighthouse Baptist Church, Milwaukee, Connecticut, and I went out soul winning with the preacher, Pastor Dan Kagan, that's now a missionary to Mexico. And as we stopped this neighborhood that we were in, the homes were gigantic. The homes were beautiful. The homes were overwhelming. Matter of fact, the one home that we walked up to, as soon as we parked in front of the house and entered the driveway, lights started coming on all over the place. I walked up to the door, and it was my turn to talk. I knocked on the door, and a very nice man came to the door. And I said, "Yes, sir, my name is Dave Smith. This is Pastor Dan Kagan. We're from the Lighthouse Baptist Church here in Norwalk, Connecticut." And the man stopped, and he said, "Just a moment." He stepped inside the house, closed the door. The next thing I saw was four garage doors going in. Foreign cars, very expensive cars. He came back to the door, and he said, "Sir, I can tell you're very sincere about what you're saying." He says, "Just a moment. Look at my home. Easily in the millions of dollars." He said, "Look what's in the garage." He said, "I have no need of anything. I have everything." He said, "Could you tell me this? Why should I ask your Jesus in life?" I looked at him, and I subconsciously said, "Oh, God, Jesus." And I said, "Sir, your vehicles are very impressive. I said, your lawn is pristine. I said, you're a man of education, I can tell. And you're a man of much." And I said, "Sir, it doesn't matter who you are, where you are, what you have, or what you don't. Call me." You see, when it rides down to it, it wasn't that the woman was a Samaritan. And it wasn't that Jesus was looking around to find out who she is. And sometimes we look and we say, "Well, that person won't, and that person will." I oftentimes loved it when people from our adult Sunday school class would come into the church, and somebody would come into me, or one of the college kids, or one of the ushers, and say, "Brother Smith, one of your converts are here." "You mean one of my converts?" Because you see, my Sunday school class is the most mixture of business people, multicolored here, multicolored skin. Because the bottom line, shall we see. Number one, you and I must be thankful Jesus takes whoever we are. Number two, if you look on down in the passage of Scripture with me, the Bible tells us in Mark chapter 5 and verses 1 to 8, "But when he saw Jesus afar off and ran and worshipped him and cried with a loud voice and said, 'What have I to do with thee?'" Where are you reading from, Brother Dave? Mark chapter 5 is a story of Legion, the wild man, the man that was chained, the man that was taken out of the city. The man was filled and possessed with demonic spirits. But the Bible also tells us that he saw Jesus. He came running. He fell and he cried with a loud voice and said, "What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not." For he said unto him, "Come out of the man, thou unclean spirit." See, we see a woman with a spirit. And we see a wild crazy. Number one, you ought to be thankful. If you're born again, that He saved you just who you are. He saved you just like you were. He was willing to allow you to have Him forgive you of your sins and to forgive me of mine. Number two, we ought to be thankful that He does forgive. Be thankful for Jesus' forgiveness. In verse number 10, the Bible says, "If thou knewest the gift of God..." Jesus answered and said unto her, "If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, 'Give me to drink,' that thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water." He looks at this Samaritan woman and he says, "If you only knew who I was, if you could only understand what I want to do, if you could comprehend what I want to do." Number one, you and I ought to be thankful that He saves whoever we are. Number two, you ought to be thankful that He forgives us of our sins, especially those that no one knows. What we see, what sometimes we dwell on, that He forgives us. The Bible tells us in Psalm 51, verses 1 through 3, "Have mercy upon me, O God, according to Thy loving kindness, according to the multitude of Thy tender mercies. Blot out my transgressions, wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me." As the psalmist wrote, he said, "I see my sin, I feel my sin, I show my sin." Oh, so many of us, the scars of our life show. But we ought to be thankful for God. God cleanses us and God washes our sins away. if you look at my body, I have many scars. If you look at my nose, it's been almost cut off. It's been broken from boxing. It looks like an S-row with an S-curve with a knob on the end of it. If you look real close, I have the skin of my chin busted open and stitches. If you look on my left hand, there's a short finger. Those are physical skins of things, signs that happen to my body. But this world is showing sins. This world is showing greater sins. The sin is growing greater and greater and greater. But thank God that Jesus forgives our sins. Thank God that Jesus will forgive you no matter what it was. It was a funeral in Washington, Iowa. And that funeral in Washington, Iowa was about an Air Force pilot. That Air Force pilot's body was not there, but the casket was there. The body could not be observed because the Air Force pilot had been decapitated. And the remains of his body. Setting in the second row was a man that suffered things. His eyes almost had that view. After the funeral service was over, I was standing close to Pastor Terry Angel who did that service. And during that service, the angel said, God will forgive you for your sins. And that one dark-eyed man was the best friend of the man that passed. The man that died, the pilot that lost his head, his two daughters said, that makes that man. And the wife said, Brother Angel. And that man said to Brother Angel, and to me, after the service, he said, you said God can forgive any and every sin. He then made an appointment and said, would you come to my home? I'll never forget that day that the angel said, would you go with me? And we went to a home and knocked on the door. No one came to the door, but heard a voice on the inside. It was in the evening and the house was very dark. We heard a voice say, man, walked into the house. And one light was in a small little living room. And that man sat in that chair with one light in his hand. He says, preacher, you said that God would forgive you the sin. He said, let me tell you the story that will haunt me the rest of my life. You see, the man that was sitting in his home, time not explained, not understood. I was at the end of the conflict. One of the things that I was taught, especially careful that one's children, in Vietnam, they take what's called satchel charges on children's bodies. They wrap their bodies in clothes and diamond. There's nothing more tender to a soldier than this is his family, this is his children. And they leave those children clean. Pilots have been captured. The full Allied forces found out where the pilots were. Navy SEALs were sent in. Each one of the pilots had information that they couldn't get from them. Sometimes when orders are given, we don't understand. And we can't understand. And sometimes we can't even explain. But the SEALs have been in and said that you cannot get those pilots out to ask you. What in happened to the seals were made. They lived in the knees in charge. And they had to retreat in order to come from the radio, get out as soon as possible, and take their lives. The last pilot that was to be extracted was now the man that was in the mask. The man that was sitting in that dark room was instructed to take a wire. As he sat the day before next to that man's daughters. And he sat the day before and next to that man's daughters. He looked for him and God can forgive me of taking my best friend's life on this earth. I'll never forget that. His beard full of tears. Got on his knees and said, God, these preachers say that you can forgive me of my sins. These preachers say that you can heal and save my soul. I'm trusting you. it was best I know how. And that day that big old boy got born again. That big old boy trusted Christ as his Savior. That big old boy was able to walk, know the vacancy of his friend. And oh, the agony. I don't know if he ever taught those little girls and ever taught that wife. But my friend, I don't care the depravity of man. Jesus' blood is enough. And Jesus saved us. And His blood washed our sins away. Confess our sins. He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If you sinned this morning, if you sinned yesterday, and will sin again and again and again, God's faithful to forgive us our sins, and we ought to be thankful. Jesus looked at that Samaritan woman and said, I have something to give you that you'll never thirst again. Oh, my friend, I don't know. Today is a day to get past your religion. Today is a day to get past your personal feeling. Today is a day that this could be the last day. This could be the last moment. This could be the last time. As that thief hung on that cross, and Jesus was not hearing him complain, but Jesus heard him trusting. And Jesus said, today you shall be with me in paradise. But the other thief, he complained. He gave excuse. He attacked the sleeper. Oh, my friend, today, if you and I are going to be thankful for this, we ought to be thankful for Jesus. We ought to be thankful for Jesus for giving us our sins. And then thirdly, in John chapter 10, in our passage of Scripture, verses number 10 through verse 14, follow along as I read, especially down to verse number 14. For whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst again. But the waters that I give him shall be to in him a well of water. Watch this. Springing up. Be thankful Jesus offers you something that will last and forever. Number one, be thankful that you will be born. Be thankful He forgives you for what you have done. And be thankful that it's forever and ever. In Psalm verses 1 or chapter 105, and verses 3 and 4. Glory ye in His holy name. Let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. Seek the Lord in His strength. Seek His face evermore. He hath remembered His covenant forever. The word which He commanded to 1,000 generations. He's promised to keep us saved. There's no way that it can be lost. There's no way it can be taken. Matter of fact, the Bible says no thing or no man can pluck us out of the very hand of God. It's forever. It can't be lost. Somebody ought to say amen. It's forever and forever and forever. Oh, as this woman stood and looked at our Savior, it didn't matter who she was. Oh, as this woman conversed with our Savior, He said He would give her water and she never thirsted again. Oh, as this woman looked at our Savior, she realized it's something that I'll never, ever lose. And then number four, follow along. So many things I want to show you. I'm going to read a few verses. Look at verse 15. The woman saith unto him, Sir, give me this water. Did you see that? Give me this water. Give me this water. Give me this water, that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. Jesus saith unto her, Go call thy husband and come thither. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus saith unto her, Thou hast well said, I have no husband, for thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband. And that saidest thou truly. The woman saith unto him, Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in the mountain, that ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship ye know not what. We know that what we worship for salvation is of the Jews, but the hour cometh. And now is when the true worshippers shall worship Father in spirit and truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship Him. God is in spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. God is teaching them. And I want to give you one thing. Number one, be thankful that He takes whoever. Be thankful that He forgives whatever. Be thankful that He offers for that eternal salvation forever. And number four, be thankful that Jesus allows us. Follow along in verse number 20. This woman then heard what Jesus was teaching her. And this woman sees others that are around. And as this woman sees others that are around, she's carrying the water pot that she's filled with water. And in verse number 29, she's saying this, "Come, see a man that told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ?" Then they went out of the city and came unto Him in the meantime while His disciples prayed Him, saying, "Master, eat." But He said unto them, "I have meat to eat that ye know not of." What ended up happening? Those people came running as that woman that had been saved, whoever she was, had been saved for whatever she did, had been saved forever and eternity's sake, that she would never thirst again, has now come and said, "Come and see the man that told me what he did." And now you have that open invitation to us. Oh, my friend, life is so simple. The Bible says in John chapter 8, verse number 32, "And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." In Psalm chapter 100, verses 1 through 5, "Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is He that hath made us, and we not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving." Enter into His gates. What's He talking about? My friend, if there's been never a time in your life that you've realized that God, not society, not man, not a preacher, but according to God that you are a sinner. And you've never ask God to forgive you your sins and to come into your heart for the eternal life. Today is the day. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter where you're from. He wants to save you forever and forever. And my friend, the only thing that is stopping that is you personally saying, number one, "I am a sinner. I am sorry for my sins. I ask You to forgive me of my sins. And I ask You to come into my heart and to give me eternal life." That day, I walked the night. I knelt under conviction of the Holy Spirit. That day, nobody came down and put my hand on my shoulder. Nobody came down and opened the Bible. I came to church that night. And I put my hand on my shoulder. I went home that night. That next morning, I got up, milked the cows, went to school, came home, did my chores, and milked the cow, and went ahead and came back to the house. There was a preacher. Brother Herford came that day and he said, "Dave," he said, "I'd like to talk to you." He said, "I couldn't get to you last night." He said, "I saw you. I'll never forget that place on Highway 69, just north of that ministry. But I am now in the same place. I realize that I am a sinner. I ask you to forgive me of my sins. I ask you to come into my heart." That day in November 1969, I trusted Christ. There was a little girl named Shauna Joy Evans. She went to a Baptist church when she was in Memphis. She had listened for several weeks to a preacher, and one day he reached one of the Lord. He closed the message and said, "If the door of life is closed, as the door on the heart is closed, it will be outside and inside." And that lady that day walked in and asked Christ to save her soul. Are you here today? If not, listen to your time. Today is thankless. My friend, you ought to thank God that you and I have come here. Number one, know His salvation. Know that He loves us. Know that He died for us. Know that He paid the ultimate price for us. But number two, if you don't know Him today, today is the day of salvation. Today is the day that you'd ask Christ to be thankful for an eternal life in heaven. It doesn't matter how long you've gone to church. It doesn't matter how well you know your Bible or don't know your Bible. It doesn't matter what you are or what you are not. It doesn't matter anything about you. What He's saying, He said, "Come unto me all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I shall give you rest." Oh, I've had it said to me many times, "I've sinned beyond salvation. There is no sin beyond salvation." "Oh, I've got some scars, Brother Dave." There is those scars. Will be there, yes. Scars that I have. Thank you, Lord. My heart was washed clean by the precious blood of Christ. And I remember that day and that place in my heart. Oh, I am not living without sin, but in my heart is a desire to live without sin. But I fight my flesh on a daily basis. I look to you, sir. I look to you, man. As has there been a time that you verbally asked Christ to forgive you your sins and to commit to your heart? If not, I beg you. I plead with you. Jesus is waiting. We're not asking you to join the church. We're not asking you to do anything for them. So, let God save you. So, heads bowed and eyes closed.